Well, I wonder, what do you want for Christmas this year? I don't want a lot for Christmas. There's just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want Mariah Carey to put a sock in it, to be honest. I know it's the nation's favourite, and I'm sorry if it's yours, but I actually quite like the song when I first hear it in November, but by now it's pretty much like nails on a blackboard for me. But it does raise that question, what do you want for Christmas? People often say the thing we want is peace on earth, which is a nice enough sentiment, but peace is a very hard thing to come by. And doesn't Christmas bring that home almost more than any other time of the year? In many ways, Christmas highlights the peace that we long for, but which we find so elusive. So we love hearing of the Christmas truce in the World War I trenches, where the British and German soldiers met in no man's land and they exchanged gifts and they played a football match. It's become a little sort of mythologised. We like the idea that there was sort of one big staged football match, which we probably have lost on penalties. But I understand there were many footballs being kicked around in no man's land. But we love that thought, don't we? In the midst of conflict, a desire for peace. And yet, of course, we know that a day or two later, the carnage continued. And it was supposed to be the war that ended all wars. And just over 100 years later, those words seem very hollow. Closer to home, our politicians, they kind of make a point of wishing one another a happy Christmas. But divisions in our nation seem deeper than ever. Or we long for peace at home. And Christmas is a time when people make an effort, we get together, but in many homes there are people who are missing because of fallings out. Or it's strange how being with people we love the most can often bring out the worst in us. All I want for Christmas is you, but it turns out you really wind me up after a day or so in your company. Or we just long for peace with ourselves. But sometimes Christmas can expose a restlessness in us, slightly dreadful questions that people might ask us in our annual catch-up, to things not working out the way we would want. The advertisers never cease to tell us we'll be happy if you just had this or this, but as we acquire more and more, it doesn't fill the hole. We long for peace in our world, in our homes, in our hearts, and Christmas can give the promise of those things, but they remain strangely beyond our grasp. Where can we find peace? Well, the expression peace on earth is taken from a Christmas song, which, if you can believe it, is even more famous than that of Mariah Carey. It is the song of the angels who appear after the shepherds hear the announcement of the birth of Jesus. You can find it, I think, in the centre pages of tonight's order of service. Angels are, what are they? They're heavenly messengers. That's what the word angel means. Messengers from God. And you're probably aware that a large number of angels appear around the events of the first Christmas. You may not know that in the Bible as a whole, it's comparatively rare. It's a rare thing for an angel to appear. When they do, you can be sure something important is happening. Then suddenly at the start of the New Testament, there are lots of angels. They appear to Zechariah the priest, to Mary, to Joseph, later to the Magi, and here, after Jesus is born, to shepherds out in the fields outside Bethlehem. Something tremendously important is happening. God is saying to us, listen up, don't miss this. God is doing something he doesn't want anyone to miss. Let me just read the key verses again. This is from verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, or singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." This is the peace that lies at the heart of Christmas. And notice it's not primarily about peace between people. God doesn't promise us peace on earth now, but he does offer us the peace we need most of all, peace with him. You know how quick we are to say to children, there's a kind of difference between what you want and what you need. And so it is with this. We want peace on earth, in our world, in our lives, in our hearts. But what we need first of all is peace with our God. Now at that point, you may want to stop me and say, well, hang on, I don't think I do need that. We have someone in our family who is wonderfully generous, but on more than one occasion has bought someone the same present as the previous year. Now, of course, being very English, we don't say anything at all. And adults and older ones are very good at that. But and just saying, oh, thank you, that's lovely. But try coaching a six-year-old to do that. Nothing was said, but the face said everything. Well, maybe that's how you feel with this offer of peace with God. You think, I've already got that. Now, things are fine between me and God. If he's there, I'm sure he's fine with me. But at that point, I need to say, well, God is saying, listen up. Listen to the angel. God wants you to listen carefully to the announcement of the angel. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. God sent us a saviour. So surely we have to presume the only reason that that is good news is because we need help. We need saving. If you're out on the road and you hear a siren and flashing lights, or you pull in to let an ambulance go round you, you presume there is a crisis. They don't send out the rescue services unless someone needs help. Well, God didn't send us a saviour for no reason. It wasn't a false alarm. As the angel said, it's good news for all people. And that's because naturally we're not at peace with our Creator. We live in his world as if he isn't there. We ignore the God who made us. We defy his laws, our kind of maker's instructions given to us for our good. We push them aside. And the good things that God gives us, what do? We put them at the centre of our lives instead of him. Effectively, we push him off the throne. We say to the God who made us and has given us everything, actually, I'm in charge. Which, of course, is no way to treat God. And is no way that nothing that a holy God, a just God, can ignore. And I think we should understand that. If there's one thing most of us want from God, it's that he should put right what is wrong with this world. And he can't be impartial about that, can he? He must be just if he's to be God. But what if we're what's wrong with this world? This is our problem. Can you imagine facing the God that we've been pushing away all our lives? You know, the shepherds only see a messenger from God and they're terrified. How much more when we face God himself, as each of us will. Now, I imagine some of you are thinking, well, this is all rather heavy and serious, not the Christmas cheer I was looking for. And I think I want to say two things to that. First, I want to say, you're right, it is serious. I could put more jokes in here. For a short time, I actually used to write jokes for a living, so I could do that. But put it this way, or let me ask you, if your doctor spots something serious on a scan, do you want him to tell you jokes? No, you want him to tell you what's wrong. And the Bible's honest with us. God is honest with us. There is something wrong. But wonderfully, he has provided for us. He sent someone to help us. Because secondly, if we get any sense of the seriousness of this, of how we treat God, if we get that, then the good news of Christmas will start to see it's really good news. Because here's the extraordinary thing. When the God we ignore came down that first Christmas, the angel didn't say to the shepherds, "You're for it now." He said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people." And when the God that we defy sent his son into the world, his king into the world, he said, "Today, in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And so he came. God the Son became a human being just like us. The most wonderful man there ever was. A man like no other man. He lived the life that we were meant to live. But then he died the death that we deserve to die. That's why he came. On the cross, he faced the penalty we deserve for the way we treat God. So that we can have peace with God. That is the gift we really need. And Christmas tells us that is the gift that God gave us. You know, someone once said, if our greatest need had been education, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been prosperity, he'd have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been political stability, he'd have sent us a great statesman. But our greatest need is forgiveness. So he sent us a saviour. Peace with God. That's what we really need. And let me tell you that receiving that gift is actually the thing that can start to address some of those other things we long for. Knowing you've been forgiven so much can help us to forgive others, bringing down barriers in relationships. Knowing God's love and acceptance can stop us forever trying to prove ourselves in life. And when we find security in relationship with him, it sets us free from chasing everything that the world says you have to have, and if you don't, you're a nobody. There is no gift like it. There is no gift like it. Well, it might be someone's thinking, hang on, it sounds like that might be a gift I need. How do I receive it? Well, peace with God comes as we lay down our arms, as it were. Stop pushing him to the fringe of our lives. Bring him to the centre. Bring Christ to the centre. And then simply ask him for that gift of forgiveness he offers. You could receive that gift even today by praying to God along those lines. Now, you may not be at that stage, but let me encourage you that it's worth finding out more. Even if there's a glimmer of that this might be true, it's got to be worth finding out more. Do what the shepherds did as they said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They said, "Let's go and see. Let's investigate." So I wonder whether that's something you should resolve to do in some way. Let me tell you just one way you could do that. You could pick up this little booklet, "So This Is Christmas," it's called. There's a pile of them by the door. If you think, actually, this is worth looking into a little bit more, then please take one. There's a stack of them there. I do hope you have a great Christmas. I hope you get everything that you ask for, including your best of Mariah Carey. Sing your heart out with my blessing. But most of all, I pray that you might discover this good news of great joy that God announces at Christmas. Peace with God. Peace with God through Jesus Christ.